Blog Talk Radio.
But I had no idea that he was working the second job so he can hurry up and get out of this debt prior to marriage, because he was afraid to tell me. About 3 months prior to us getting married was when he was really honest and he put it all out, and I was crushed. I mean, I was ready to cancel the wedding, tell all the guests our apologies. Like, there was no shame in my game whatsoever. I wasn't embarrassed, but I felt like maybe we should put this wedding on hold because it's some trust issues going on here. He kept this from me.
Welcome and thanks for tuning in to the Midday Money Show, your weekly shot of uncommon financial good sense. I'm Tony Husbands, a financial coach with the Debt-Free Divas, and I love to talk about all things as they relate to your money. Today, I have a question for you. When I say classic love story, what comes to mind? Romeo and Juliet, maybe? George and Wheezy? What about Florida and James Evans? Some good times there, folks. Good times. Well, today I have another classic love story in the making for you, because I really do believe that love can conquer all, especially to the tune of $30,000 worth of debt. Ty and Talik McNeely were high school sweethearts. And it's the classic story, you know, boy meets girl, boy falls in love, boy hides $30,000 worth of debt. But the cool thing about their story is it didn't stop there. There are so many lessons to be learned, and I appreciate that I had both of them on today. Generally, when I'm talking to somebody and getting the debt-free story, if there is a marriage involved, it's usually one person or the other, which is fine. Those are great stories too, but sometimes it's great to get the perspective from both sides, from the horse's mouth. Even in my situation, my husband and I worked through $107,000 worth of debt. And we really just had to learn a basic fundamental key, respect. That comes through loud and clear when talking with Ty and Talit. And at the end of this, maybe you'll be convinced, like I am, that they are, in fact, America's favorite money couple. You can check out our website, debtfreedivas.org, for the show notes of this episode, Love Conquered $30,000 Worth of Debt, for links to all resources mentioned in today's episode. And it is jam-packed, folks. America's favorite money couple. Thanks for joining me today on the Midday Money Show. You guys have just such a sweet story, a very sweet, loving. And I just came back, just FYI, I came back from seeing the Obama's first date. I forget what
it was. How was it?
So cute. I don't even I'm not even into chick flicks like that. I'm not saying this is a chick flick. It was so much way more than it was such a nice story of love and working through some things and kind of getting to know each other. And it reminds me of you guys and your story.
Okay, so we got to go check that out then.
Yeah, two people really kind of working through some challenges, good people at their core, but just trying to kind of meet each other in the middle, which is what you two did. So you have, like I said, such a cute story. And I want to just kind of talk about your debt-free story. And it kind of starts right before you guys decided to jump the broom. So maybe, Tyler, why don't you kind of set it up for us? Because you had the surprise. So why don't you talk about the debt that you all had and how you broached that topic in the beginning?
Yeah, well, we're high school sweethearts, and we met early on in life, but, you know, as we grow, I enlisted to the military. She went to college, and things kind of fell apart, but we came back together a few years later, and we kind of rekindled the romance, but by then, I had developed some pretty bad money habits. I grew up in a home where my parents were very frugal, I believe is the politically correct way to say it.
Right.
And so as I watched the way that they handled money, and I interpreted my own perception, because when my peers and my classmates came to school, they had on the brand new Air Jordans. And when I came to school, I had on the brand new Pro Wings. And so
Hello.
For everybody who's Payless challenged tuned into the show right now, the Pro Wing was the Payless version of the Air Jordans.
Okay.
And so that's what I got. And so when I got out on my own, got my own money, I said I would never, ever be like that. So I tried to make up for 18 years worth of non-labeled clothes and buy everything that had a name brand on it that I possibly could find. And I developed terrible money habits, and I ended up with over $30,000 worth of debt and nothing good to show for it. Didn't have a house, didn't have a degree, anything like that. I just had stuff. And I just had debt on top of debt, and I was reckless with my finances. And then, you know, I kind of woke up a bit after some years of terrible spending habits, and I was trying to get on solid footing and turn my life around when it came to finances. And this was around the same time that we were rekindling and reconnecting with each other. And so here I was with all these bad money habits, and I fell in love with somebody who was great with money.
Okay, so let's bring Ty into this conversation, because she is a former investment banker. She also grew up with parents that were very money savvy, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And then you rekindle your relationship with your high school sweetheart, who is, shall we say, flexible.
Right.
When it comes to his money management skills. So at what point did you notice this?
About 3 months prior to our wedding day was when it all really came out and hit the fan.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Tyler. He had a job. He was in the military. He was a very hard worker. And he also picked up a second job where he was delivering pizzas. And I just thought, wow, he is really trying to like save this money and stack up this money for us so we could just have this great life. But I had no idea that he was working the second job so he can hurry up and get out of this debt prior to marriage, because he was afraid to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
And so about 3 months prior to us getting married was when he was really honest and he put it all out, and I was crushed. I mean, I was ready to cancel the wedding, tell all the guests our apologies. Like, there was no shame in my game whatsoever. I wasn't embarrassed, but I felt like maybe we should put this wedding on hold because it's some trust issues going on here.
Right.
He kept this from me.
Hmm.
So it was a really difficult time for us. I did a lot of praying. And then I finally, when I was able to kind of, you know, come back to myself and really look at the situation, I saw, wow, here it is. This is somebody that was working extremely hard to try to get out of debt. He was not a lazy bum living at home with his parents.
Okay.
You know, and so I saw those qualities, and that was attractive to me. That was enough to say, you know what, Ty? Okay, you do have a great man. You have a hard worker, and this is somebody that does not mind working, and he's willing to change his old ways,
mm-hmm.
per se. So after all of that went on, and then too, I also realized, okay, he wasn't physically abusive to me. He wasn't verbally abusive. He was a good man.
Okay.
So I felt like you shouldn't put somebody away because of their financial situation. I mean, that can all be worked out. And as you can see, our first year of marriage, we were able to become completely debt free.
Awesome. That's very generous of you. That's extremely generous of you. And with, you know, like you say, with your faith involved, I think you were able to kind of get there. But practically speaking, how does one work through that? Because you said, Ty, that there were some trust issues.
Yeah.
How do you actually work through that and start to, like, you know, be able to rebuild that relationship, that foundation of trust again?
Well, for one, for me, because I am a Christian, prayer really did play a huge factor in that. And then I was able to also sit back and look at myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here it is. Nobody's perfect. So, yes, he had some issues with finances, but what were some of my issues? I couldn't just sit there and point the finger. I had to say, okay, here it is. He's marrying an imperfect person as well. So I had to look at some character issues. There were some things that I needed to work on myself, you know, and that we were able to talk about and discuss. And we were both able to kind of work at some issues at the same time. So I think that it's really important that you don't look at this person as a failure, because nobody's perfect, not even yourself.
Thank you.
And look at ways where you can also improve and become a better person. You may be good with money, but what are some other areas that you're lacking in?
Right.
Could you do better with your health? You know, could you do better with making wise decisions on, I mean, whatever it is, better at your job? You know, are you slacking at your job? So I had to look at Ty first and foremost. I had to get my eyes off of him and say, okay, he's trying to work out his issues. Ty, you need to work out some of your issues as well.
Gotcha. You know what? John Legend, I think, was the executive producer for the Obama story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he needs to come talk to you guys too. We need to
come on.
We need some more of these good stories out there, you know, because like you said, nobody is perfect, but you gotta look at the potential. And that's hard, because he could have continued to be this person who was flexible with his money management skills. And that's something I guess you kind of have to weigh in there. So knowing that, one more question for you, Ty, knowing that he could have been one of these people that, you know what, I'm sorry and I want to change, but maybe he's having difficulty changing. How did you get to the point where you're like, okay, I'm going to give this person another chance?
Because I saw the effort.
Okay.
That's what made it worthwhile for me. I saw the effort. Now, if Tyler was not putting in any effort, I'm telling you right now, there would not be a his and her money. today. Mm-hmm. It really wouldn't, because I would not have walked down that aisle. I needed to see some type of effort, because I do believe that there are some things that if you notice prior to marriage, it just gets worse, or it can get better during marriage. If you see good qualities, it can get better in marriage. Bad qualities can get also worse. But I saw that he was taking this bad life's choices that he's made with his finances, and that he was trying to do better. Like, that's all I wanted. I wanted to see some type of effort. He wasn't just sitting back, throwing his arms, saying, well, Ty, this is who I am. I'm not changing. You just have to deal with it. Because then there would not be a he and I today. Mm-hmm. And so because I saw the effort, that made it worthwhile for me. And that was enough signs for me in order to move forward.
This episode is sponsored by Personal Capital, a free online tool that helps you keep track of your personal finances, folks. Track your spending, manage your investments, and keep up with everything through their secure mobile app. You can support the Midday Money Show and take advantage of this fabulous free tool by creating a free account with Personal Capital. Head over to debtfreedivas.org/personal and we'll show you the way. So, Talit, speak to me then. What motivated you, I guess, to put in that effort? Where did that kind of change come from? Was it because Ty requested it of you, or were you kind of trying to move in that direction beforehand?
I think it's a combination of both. I think that I was trying to get better, but I didn't, you know, I wasn't consistent, you know, in my heart, in my mind. I wanted things different. I was tired of living paycheck to paycheck. I was tired of all these bills. I was tired of all these phone calls, my credit in the garbage. You know, I really was wanting to do better, but, you know, I tried, but my habits weren't changing. Like, I didn't do the hard part. You know, I read books, I read articles, you know, I would try and dabble, but I didn't go all in. And once I got to the point in realizing, like, this was about to cost me the woman of my dreams, you know, like, that was the extra motivation to put what I was learning into hardcore action. And so once I realized that, you know, I have made a complete mess financially of my life, and I need to do something about it. So it started with me having that singular, you know, desire on the inside. But, you know, the fact that I was about to lose this beautiful woman, because, yeah, this came 3 months before we were going to get married. But we had a very long engagement, 2.5-year engagement, because during the middle of our engagement, I got orders to go overseas to Iraq. Mm-hmm. And so to get all the way up to this point was like devastating. You know, I was trying to conceal it. I was trying to do it on my own, which was bad ideas, because you can't have a unified marriage or build a foundation on a lie. And so once we put it out there, you know, it was like, okay, I got to do everything necessary, because A, I want to be in a better place. I want to set my family up for good things down the road. And B, if I don't fix it, I'm not even going to have that family that I'm desiring to have in the first place.
Well, thank you for your service, definitely. And we're thankful that you are okay and back with us. So I want to know, did you talk with your frugal parents about your decision to talk with Ty to kind of put all your cards on the table? Were you receiving any support or counseling from anybody in that area?
I didn't have conversation with my parents, but I was doing a lot of reading and researching on personal finance. We were in premarital counseling with our pastor, you know, as leading up to the wedding. So I think it was a combination of all these things, and even having conversations with Ty about finances, because she was very, very well versed in it. I think all of those things just combined to get me moving in the right direction.
How do you think you were able to hide your actual situation, financial situation, from Ty for so long?
Well, I mean, we weren't, for the majority of our engagement, we weren't even in the same state. I was still in Texas, going back and forth with the Army, and she was in Chicago. So our lives were, you know, not everyday physical face-to-face interaction. So, you know, she didn't see what I was doing. And then once I moved back up here, you know, that's when the things started to unravel. And, you know, I couldn't really hide it. You know, I had to come forward, and I think that was probably the best thing that could have happened. And so, you know, I had an answer for everything. You know, we pulled credit reports, and there were things on there, and I would just say, yo, that must be old. You know, it just haven't came off yet. You know, I paid that. You know, I just was so terrified that if I was completely forthcoming with her, that she would run in the opposite direction. And so that's why I hid it for so long, unfortunately. But fortunately, you know, the truth just had to come out. I couldn't do it anymore. And that's when the positive things started happening. Although there was this initial, you know, anger, upset, trying to figure out, are we still going to get married? All that happened, you know, but through a whole lot of prayer and through a whole lot of conversation, we were able to both realize that this was a stumbling block that we can get over together.
All right. So, Ty, you've gotten over, or at least you're working through, let me say it like that, because I'm sure it was a process. you're working through the anger. You're working through the hurt. You decide to go ahead with the marriage. Now, what process do you all start from day one? Because you're going into this kind of fully aware. What process do you all start to try and attack this debt? And I want to know, do you, in your mind, think of it as his debt? Or do you, in your mind, think of it as something we got to do together?
Okay. So, no, first off, it's in marriage, there's no I. We are a team. So it was no his debt or her debt. It now became our debt. So for the first time in my life, I now had debt when I married my husband. And so some of the first steps that we took was we laid everything out on the table, first and foremost. I mean, if there was anything that we were keeping from each other, financially or not, we had to share it. And after that, we were then able to talk about how we plan to handle our money in once we get married. And so one of the decisions that we made was that I would be the one that would handle the budget and put the numbers together and things like that. But after marriage, we soon realized that that was not a great idea because I felt like a mother handing a child, telling a child what to do. And my husband, Talad, he felt like a child being told what to do by his mom. Mm. And so that didn't work either. So then we then realized that we both need to come together. We need to work on this together. It is a team effort. So we started to budget. We also started to fill ourselves up with a lot of knowledge. We will read a lot. We will watch a lot of videos back then, like Dave Ramsey had a television show online or on television. And so we would watch that. We would read books. We would read certain articles. We would email each other back and forth, and we would have money conversations. And so that's pretty much how we spent the first year of our marriage, I would say. We were really like all in. And I also must stress this, that I never once threw it back up in my husband's face, this is what you did, or this was your debt. Now, 10 years in, I still never just say, this is your debt. This was your debt. This was your fault. No, I never once rubbed it in his face. I never once brought it up. And we were able to successfully get out of debt within our first year of marriage.
Amen. So tell it. Did you recognize that she wasn't that kind of person? Like, this is something you did. I'm throwing this up. Was that apparent to you as you guys were going through this, that she was not that type of person?
Yeah, absolutely. We had known each other for years by that point. And so I knew the type of God-fearing woman that she was, the type of family-oriented person that she was, and that when the truth finally came out, we were able to see, like, you know what? We can do this. Like, although this is bad, this is really, really bad, we can come together and we can work this out. So I knew, you know, I think I just believed the lie over time that I just told myself over and over again till it became truth in my mind, that if I told her, she would run the other way, when actually she was waiting to embrace me. She was waiting to hold my hand and say, we can walk this out together.
We know that money and money issues are like the number one cause of marriages dissolving. And so because this is such a tough issue, and it's just challenging because we have two intelligent people, good people, who quite possibly see things just very differently. So if you have a couple like that, let's say they're already married, you know, there is a surprise that comes up with finances, or maybe it's not a surprise, it's just something you overlooked and you've gotten to the point where you want to deal with it, but you guys are kind of butting heads as a couple. Maybe for the ladies, Ty, do you have some advice on how women in this relationship can approach a financial impasse with their spouse?
Well, first, you have to be careful of the timing. So choose the right time. Don't come to your spouse when maybe they're having a bad day, or when possibly maybe you all got in an argument a few days prior. Approach them at the right time. One of the things that we like to also recommend to couples is that they choose a specific day of the week where it's like, hey, we can sit down, we can talk about anything. It doesn't have to just be finances, but we can say, hey, Thursday, every Thursday at 7 p.m. it's going to be just you and I. We're going to be able to talk about any issues or anything that maybe it's on our heart that we want to share. And you can use those moments to talk about a financial, whatever financial issue that you may have with your spouse or aught that you may have with your spouse. But I will also suggest that you first put forth a compliment. So maybe you don't come right out the back saying, you know what, you do this, you do that. But, you know, give them a nice compliment. I noticed that you took your lunch to work today. And that really made me proud. Thank you. You know, that you're making a financial decision for our family in order to save us money. You know, so don't just come at them right away, like bam, 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 but approach them with a soft approach, I would say.
Okay. And Talib, for the men who are involved in a relationship where there is a financial impasse, what are some tips you have on how to approach that situation?
Well, I would say that I think one of the key components to any marriage being successful is patience and reflection. So be patient with if the other spouse that you're talking to is the one that is not good with money and you're trying to get them on board. Know that they didn't get to where they are overnight and they're not going to get out overnight. And be patient, right? Because according to the Bible, that's one of the ways that you can see love is love is patient and love is kind. And so deal kindly with your spouse and know that, again, like we stated earlier, yeah, they might have a flaw, but so do you. And this is just their particular area of flawedness. And so what you have to do is be willing to work, knowing that you made a vow, a covenant saying for better, for worse, rich, for poor, to death do us part. So that means you're going to be together for a very long time. So have enough patience to love them through this process, to love them through this situation, knowing that everything that you do, right, we don't get a testimony without a test. So this is just a test that you all are going through. And whatever you're going through, as long as you guys are willing to operate as a team and as a unit, man, you can get through it. It's nothing that you can't get through when you're trying to, both parties are trying to work together as a team. And I think the problem is that when you hear the word team, it gets misconstrued to automatically think that a team is 50-50 all the time. And it's just not. It's just not true. You know, sometimes it's 60-40, 70-30, 80-20. It just depends, but it should never be 100-0. It should never be right in that way. And we always like to give the analogy of the championship Chicago Bulls teams of the 90s. Everybody knows about Michael Jordan. He's one of the greatest of all time, the greatest of all time, if you ask me. But anyway, you know, but if I say the name B.J. Armstrong, a lot of people listening be like, well, who is that? And the truth is, some of the ladies might know. But he was the point guard for many of those championship teams where Michael was the two guard. And so they didn't have 50% responsibility each, not by any means, right?
Right.
When opposing teams were game planning for the Bulls, they were overwhelmingly game planning for Michael Jordan in the backcourt. But BJ played his role and he played it well. He was the point guard. He ran the offense, distributed the ball to where it needed to go. Michael Jordan get the ball and do his thing. And because they both played their respective positions, their respective roles, and they played to their strengths well, they became champions. And so that's going to be what's necessary for you all to become champions in your marriage, is to play to your strengths and play your role well. And that always won't look like it's half and half.
I love that you said you don't have a testimony without a test, and your testimony has actually morphed into his and her money. So why don't you talk a little bit about that and what you all are doing to help other couples get to the point where you guys are, where you're working together as a team to build your life together?
Well, yes, we created a platform, His and Her Money. You can find us at hisandhermoney.com. And we've created that platform pretty much out of our story. Once a lot of couples found out our story, like family and friends, they would come to us and seek advice, and we then realize, well, hey, why don't we just take this to the masses and help other couples and individuals be able to tackle their finances and become better stewards over their money. And so we created the platform hisandhermoney.com. We're also on just about every social media platform that you can think of. We're on Periscope. We're also on YouTube at youtube.com/hisandhermoney. We have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We also have an iTunes show, the His and Her Money Show. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio. We're there. We're also on Google Play.
Yeah, we talk about getting out of debt, managing your money well, home organization, parenting. You know, our motto is teaching you about your money, your marriage, and everything in between. And so that's what you will find when you come to our hub.
So I just want to ask one more question, Talib. Speaking of parenting, now that you are a parent and you have three beautiful children, are you buying Pro Wings or are you buying Jordans?
Mommy does the shopping.
Mommy goes out and does it. So.
Okay.
But no Pro Wings, though. I don't want to devastate them.
Okay.
we're not opposed to it. You know, if we have to, we will. We have to make sacrifices.
I'm opposed. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, we go to Target. They have their shoes at Target. So now it's like you don't have to shop at Payless. But,
right.
Yeah. But no. Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much for your time. I really appreciate you sharing your story. And again, just wish you well. And I want to say also just congratulations, because if you don't know, His and Her Money has been nominated for not one, not two, but three Plutus Awards. So these guys are doing awesome work, and they're being recognized by their peers.
Thank you so much, Tony. And thank you for what you do. You do an amazing job as well over there at Debt Free Divas. And so just continue. You're really helping and changing lives as well. So
that's
thank
right.
you.
We're big fans of the show, so it's an honor to be a guest today. Thanks.
And now we get to the portion of the show where I get to spend a little QT with you, Team Debt Free. In the spirit of change, we're trying something a little new today. This will be our community comment portion of the podcast. Take a listen.
Hey, Tony, this is Tip. Just wanted to follow up with you and just kind of give you an update of what's going on. So on Wednesday, I knew I had a credit card balance on one of my cards, and I called to find out how much it was, which is it was a low amount. It was lower than what I anticipated. But I also wanted to hear what else was going on with the card. So I hit another button, and it gave me my interest rate, which was like 23 point something. And it was just extremely high, and I thought that was kind of crazy. And since I've been listening to your account or listening to your pod and then listening to Dave Ramsey as well, I just thought that was kind of interesting, and it kind of made me more aware of how I'm spending my money. So I wound up paying off that account, and then once I made it home, I got the information on my other credit card, and that's still 20-something as well. So my next step was to go ahead and get in contact with them and try to see if I can lower that account and then make some more aggressive steps to try to get that payment or get that account paid off ASAP. So that's what's going on. Just want to go ahead and give you an update. Thank you.
So that was my friend Tip, and I appreciate him calling in to give that update. And it's just a good reminder about, number one, folks, checking to see how much interest you are paying on your credit cards can be downright astronomical. So if you don't know what your interest rates are, definitely check those out ASAP and get to know what those are. Number two, if you have low balances on store credit cards that are carrying astronomical interest rates, pay those things off. If you are trying to get out of debt, one of the best ways to get out of debt is stop going deeper into debt. So thanks, Tip, for that comment and reminder. Sometimes it's just like, you know what, we're busy, you're working hard, and a lot of times your personal finances can take a back seat to all of the other responsibilities on your plate. I get it. I know it. I've been there. I feel you. So things like this are just a great reminder that we have to take some time and pay attention to what's important, our finances. If you have a comment or question, you can either email me, or if you'd like to leave a message, head over to my site, debtfreedivas.org, and I'll have the information there for you. Maybe I'll answer your question or share your comment on an upcoming episode of the Midday Money Show.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the Midday Money Show and hanging out with me. Remember, all links mentioned in today's episode will be available on our website, debtfreedivas.org. You can also keep in contact on Facebook and Twitter. And finally, last but not least, I definitely want to remind you, head over to our website so that you can get signed up for the 6-day Hidden Money Challenge. Going great, getting a lot of good feedback from that, and I want to have you in this with us. So I hope you enjoyed the episode as much as we obviously did. We're out of time, but never out of topics. Until next time, have a great money week.